Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see all of you. Last Friday was Veterans Day, and veterans are men and women who have been called to protect our nation. And this morning, we're honoring those men and women who have served our nation. We know that many of our veterans come home from the war with trauma and injuries from overseas conflicts. However, we're grateful for their willingness to serve and sacrifice for our nation. So would our service men and women, would you please stand up if you served in the military or you served on the police force or are a public servant, firemen? We honor you. We love you. And we appreciate all that you've done. Some of you may have seen this on Facebook. We posted it on our Facebook page. But it says this: it is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag. And you can put up the picture. If you haven't risked coming home under the flag, don't you dare stand on it. Yeah. So today and every day, we honor you. God bless the USA. Well, the election is over. I think you should do that again because some of you are like really excited. Yes, how many of you were like praying and interceding in front of your TVs? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What an exciting, how many months have we been at this? Too many? Yeah. But every 4 years, America puts herself in a position of electing a new leader. And it's a time of a lot of emotional upheaval. Some harsh words are said. And it produces some conflicts. And sometimes they last long beyond the election process. And we see that in our country going on right now. But all of the primaries and debates, it climaxes in November. And that's when every American has the opportunity to vote. We talked last week about the opportunity to vote. That vote is your talent. You've been given a talent. Are you going to use it? Are you going to vote for the platform that represents biblical principles? Are you going to use it? Are you going to hide it? And so I believe that many, many Christians took this opportunity to turn this nation. And I believe God heard our prayers. I believe there were Christians from every denomination. We band together. We join together. We are the mightiest force in the earth today. And God is awaking a sleeping giant. We may have different styles of worships. We may believe doctrinally a little bit different, but as long as we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and He rose again, we are all together. We are the body of Christ. And the sleeping giant is being awakened. Because if we sit back and do nothing, evil will take over. And we have seen the progressive agenda take over in our country. But thank God that we've prevailed through this election cycle. And some of you may be disappointed with who won the election. And some of you are really happy about who won the election. So as we watch the faces of the people who lost, they were really surprised because everything pointed to a victory for the Democratic Party. But God had other plans. And you know, God seems to like it when all odds are against you. President-elect Donald Trump didn't have a whole lot going for him as far as support, even from his own party. And the media still won't let up on him. But I heard today that the popular vote is all in, and he also won the popular vote. So when God wins a battle, he does it complete. Yes. Hallelujah. But it's disheartening to see how people have responded to President Trump. And many people have said they feel lost and they feel broken. But protests have broken out everywhere. And you probably saw on the news where the man that in Chicago that voted for Trump, a group of thugs pulled him out of his car and beat him. And while they're beating him, another one got in his car and started stealing stuff because of who he voted for. It is terrible. And then on Friday, on Veterans Day, a veteran in Philadelphia was upset because at these protests, people are burning the American flag. And he asked a group of young men to stop burning a flag. And so they beat him with a hammer and with a piece of wood. And he was taken to the hospital and he died early Saturday morning. And then there's the college students that felt like they were unable to attend class because they were so traumatized because President-elect Donald J. Trump won the election that they canceled classes for them so that they could also stand outside their school and burn American flags. They had to establish safety zones for them. Now, this reminds me of how many parents here used a playpen. We established a safety zone for our toddlers. And we have college students that are wanting a safety zone. And they brought in therapy dogs, which, hey, therapy dogs are great. But as a church, we have a lot to pray about. These college students, they need prayer. That they emotionally mature. And Apostle Jane Hammond, she posted an article on millennials. And someone asked me, what age group is millennials? I think it's considered 1982 to 2004, if you're born within that age group. Those are the ones that are in college now. But I am going to share just a few things of what the article says. First of all, it says, this is a 7 harsh realities of life millennials need to understand. Number one, your feelings are largely irrelevant. Seriously, nobody who has already graduated college cares about your feelings. That means that when you complain to your boss because your coworker misgendered you, he's probably not going to bend over backwards to bandage your wounds. Given feelings are entirely subjective to nature, it's completely unreasonable to demand everyone tiptoe around you to prevent yours from being hurt. The reality is that people will offend you and hurt your feelings, and they won't stop to mop up your tears because they shouldn't have to. Second, you cannot be whatever you want to be. The reality is, if you're 17 years old and still can't figure out basic division, you're not going to be a rocket scientist. If you lack fine motor skills, you're not going to be a heart surgeon. It's okay to accept that you cannot be whatever you want to be. In fact, once you accept this, you'll be able to focus on the things you can be, the things you are really talented at. And this is the group of people that we need to be praying for. Number three, gender studies is a waste of money. While some millennials taking useless degrees will claim they're beneficial for teaching or research positions, the reality is they just put themselves several thousand dollars in debt to learn how to be a professional victim. While you're struggling to make ends meet after graduation because nobody who pays more than minimum wage is interested in your qualifications and you're drowning in student loan debt, be sure to check out the next harsh reality before you start complaining. Number four, if you live in the United States of America, you're already in the upper 1% of the population of the world. Even though you work at McDonald's for minimum wage because you got a useless, outrageous, expensive college degree, you're still far better than the vast majority of the planet. Don't believe me? Fly to Uganda and check out the living conditions there. Fly to China, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, Iran, Russia. Go to Belize for a week, and even European countries. Isn't that right, Belize team? Aren't you thankful for what we have in America after you've been there? And you're going to discover that you're pretty well off. While it may be cool these days to dump on capitalism, it's the only reason you aren't already worse off. And number five, you don't have a right to do it just because you exist. This includes health care, guaranteed income, and somewhere to live. Just because you're here and breathing doesn't mean society owes you anything. Demanding health care be a right, for example, is equivalent to demanding government force the taxpayer to pay for it. While that may seem like a good idea in theory, it only leads to rationing of care when costs become unsustainable, which negatively impacts not just your health, but everyone else's too. And number six, you do not have the right to live as you please, but not to demand people. You do have the right to live as you please, but not to demand people to accept it. And that's what we hear. If you want to cross-dress, smoke marijuana, drink lots of alcohol, have lots of sex, and yes, even go to school for gender studies, then by all means, go for it. Government should not be allowed to legislate people's behavior as long as it doesn't infringe upon someone else's rights, but that doesn't mean society isn't allowed to have an opinion. You don't have the right to demand people keep your opinions about your lifestyle to themselves, especially if you're open and public about it. I have as much of a right to comment on the way you live your life as you do actually to live it. Your feelings are not protected, right? But my speech is. And the last one is number seven. The only safe space is your home. No matter where you go in life, someone will be there to offend you. Maybe it's a joke overheard on a vacation or a spat in the office or someone else's different opinion in the grocery store. Inevitably, someone will offend you and your values. If you cannot handle that without losing control of your emotions and reverting back to your safe space away from the harmful words of others, you're best to stay at home. Remember, though, if people in the outside world scare you, people on the internet will downright terrify you. It's probably best to just accept these harsh realities of life and go out into the world prepared to confront them wherever they may be waiting. This is a group of young people to pray for. If you notice, most of the protests across America have been all the same age. Have you noticed that? Pretty much the same age group of people. And as the church, we have authority over all the power of the enemy. We do not have authority over a person's will. But we can pray that God will set these young people up to encounter those who have the word of the Lord and are bold in the Lord. They need the truth to set them free. How miserable to live a life that you're so afraid you have to have a safe zone. Do you remember when Donald Trump was in the primary? College students, there was a group of college students that were just terrified because somebody wrote Donald Trump on the campus. They wrote his name. And they were absolutely terrified. But Black Lives Matter had written their name, and they weren't terrified of that. And so there is this racial divide that continues to go on in our nation, playing the race card. And we cannot be any part of that. Because it's not about race at all. God created all of the races. We are mankind. I like what Dr. Ben Carson said. If the boat's going to go down, remember, we're all in the same boat. We are all citizens of the United States of America. And so praying that God brings unity and breaks down the wall of division. And people who are so afraid of this government. Honestly, the government does not control our homes. Is that right? When we are in our homes, we can raise our children, teach our children exactly what we desire. That's our responsibility. I heard a woman say, "What am I going to do now with my child? What are they going to be taught in school?" Because there is talk of getting rid of the Common Core, which some people are in favor of and some people are against. But ultimately, the responsibility to train and to teach lies in our home. That's not up to the government. That is up to us. And even though someone puts you in jail, they cannot change your beliefs and they cannot change your values. You know, they'd love to get in your head and change your thoughts. And that's what has happened with our education system is the mind programming that's gone on. And so, but God is greater than that. We have to keep telling ourselves, God is greater than that. And God is able to set these young people free. And instead of burning flags, they'll be on fire for the kingdom of God. Come on, church. God's calling us to arise and to shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen. So don't X them off like no one will ever reach them. If you just reach one, if your prayers cause one to break free, then there will be more. And we thank God for his presence. We thank God that we can pray to him, and we thank God for all that he's doing in America. And we know it is because our law enforcement and our military is willing to serve and to sacrifice for our citizens. Daniel 2:20 through 22 is not on the PowerPoint, but I'd like to read it. It says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. And then in Daniel 4, 34 through 35. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" God is in charge. The election is over. The winner's been declared. So now what do we do? We can trash the other party for a variety of reasons, but that would not be what God's instructed us to do. So 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says this: Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. This verse tells us what Americans are supposed to do now that the electoral vote is in and Donald J. Trump is our next president. Let's take a look at these scriptures. It says we're to submit ourselves to governing authority. As long as we do not have to do anything unbiblical, immoral, or illegal, we're commanded by God to follow the law of the new president. We are to submit ourselves to the president's authority for the Lord's sake. Mind you, he didn't say for our sake, but for God's sake. How better could we walk the walk of a Christian than by doing what God says? Even when it means we lay aside our own personal feelings. And the verse says the governors will be in charge of punishing those who do wrong and rewarding those who do right. So God's telling us that if we do not obey the law of the land, we are doing wrong and deserve to be punished. But if we do obey the law of land, we will be doing right and will be rewarded. It's interesting as you watch people destroy other people's property, not only in these protests, but the protests that have been going on. Apostle Leonard always says, the punishment is not harsh enough. And in reality, they have them on surveillance cameras. In some way, it needs to be implemented that if you destroyed it, then you are going to pay for it. Amen. You are going to pay for it. We're going to work out a program that you are the one that is going to pay for it. I think people would think twice before they destroy cars and burn down businesses with no regard of someone else's life and energy and dream that they put into that, and then they just take the initiative to destroy it. I think they should be required to repay. But he's always saying, the punishment isn't hard enough. And then in the law, it's cruel and unusual punishment. They try to tack that on. But anyway, going on, I believe that these groups of people lack identity. When you know who you are in Christ, when you know what God has called you to do, you are so busy fulfilling God's will and working in the kingdom of God and equipping yourself and giving away that you just don't have time to do all of that. Amen. Or to get into somebody else's business. So God's given us an identity, and regardless of who is in government, our identity does not change. It didn't change. It's never changed. Who we are in Christ will remain the same forever. That is something we can secure in our mind, our will, and emotions that will keep us going. Because life is full of difficulties, as we all know. Surprises that we weren't planning on. Is that right? But God's identity that he's given us never changes. So here we go. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I think everyone sitting in this room would probably agree that God is the most loving and the most powerful spiritual being you will ever meet. Do you agree? So we know that the God who loves us so much is willing to leave the flock and go after the one lost lamb. Is that right? So even when we go astray, God's love is still coming towards us. God is searching for us because he's willing to come after the one. He's willing to come after you. You are important to God. So your identity doesn't change regardless of what's going on. So bringing this week to a political close, let me quickly remind you to let it go if your party lost. And you can always have a little celebration if your party won. But we, as the church, must continue to pray. It isn't like, oh, let's just relax now. There is no time to relax in this season when it comes to a spiritual battle. There is no time to relax. Timothy said that we're to pray for our kings and we're to pray for those in authority. So this morning, we're going to pray. And then we are going to go on with our message. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and acknowledge that you are the sovereign King over all nations and the government is upon your shoulders. We want to thank you for your mercy towards us and towards all people. We ask for your supernatural intervention in the affairs of mankind, especially in the United States of America. We ask that you release your wisdom and your help to our newly elected President Donald J. Trump and to all leaders in authority. We ask that you give him direction and guidance in the days ahead and that you surround him with godly men and women as he chooses people for the highest positions in our land. God, we ask that your peace would fill the hearts of the people in the protests in our city streets. We ask for your supernatural protection over our police forces as they restore law and order in our cities. We ask that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Last Friday, we celebrated Veterans Day, and that is what I'd like to talk about today, remembering those who've given so much so that we could be here today and enjoying what we enjoy in this most blessed of nations. So we're to remember. Remembering. We're told many times in the scripture to remember. How many here kind of easily forget? Have you caught yourself walking into a room and you forgot why you went in the room? Have you ever done that? It's because so much is on your mind. And then you're like, what am I in here for? And then you walk out and then you remember, right? So then you have to go back in. I've been doing a study from Mayo Clinic, and they said at any given time inside of our brain, we have between 140 and 150 files open. And our attention span is about 8 seconds. And if you're not careful, your mind just begins to scan through your files. Some of you are sitting here. I know you've been going through your files instead of listening. And that's the way the human brain is wired. So I read a story about remembering, and it's about a policeman who noticed a woman in a parked car at a train station, and her head was bowed down over the steering wheel. And so he stopped to check on her, and when she looked up at the officer, he noticed her eyes, like, had this faraway look, even though she was sitting right there. Her mind was, like, somewhere else. So he asked her if everything was okay, and she said, "Every day for 20 years, I have been driving my husband to this train station. And I guess it became such a habit that today I forgot him." Oh, so we are supposed to remember. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." And then on to verse 5, it says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So Paul tells Timothy that he's reminded of Timothy's faith. He could not have been reminded of Timothy's faith unless he was remembering Timothy. And that is what we are to do. We are to remember those around us so that we will know how to best encourage them. All of us are in a life struggle. All of us go to work every day, just about all of us. And most people who can't go to work because of a handicap, they wish they could go to work. But we're to remember one another. You've probably heard, your memory goes first as you age. Have you ever heard that? But we're not going to receive that. And with so many things going on, do you have a long to-do list? Yeah. Or maybe you don't make lists. Anyway, case in point, there were 3 sons that grew up. And when they left home, they became very prosperous in their lives. And they were remembering their mom. And they got together and they talked about what each one of them could do for their mom, because they were remembering her. And they wanted to do something special for her and give her some luxurious gifts. So one of them had a beautiful big home built for her. And another one sent her a new limo with her very own driver. And the third one sent her a remarkable talking parrot. Not only could this parrot talk, but it had memorized passages in the Bible and could quote chapters. And they knew their mom loved the Bible and her eyes were going bad, so they thought, this will be wonderful for mom. She can listen to the scripture through this parrot. So several months went by, and the first son got a letter from his mom. And she complained that the house was so big, it took all of her time cleaning it, so she sold it and bought a much smaller home. The second son got a letter saying the mother was way too old to travel, and the driver was such a uppity young man, she sold the limo and fired him. But to the third son, she praised him and exclaimed how happy she was for the bird that he had sent to her. She said he always did remember what she liked the most, and that was the best fried chicken she had ever eaten. So the sons were focused on doing something for their mother that they wanted to do, rather than wanting to do for their mom what she wanted them to do. As they were remembering mom, they wished that she would have remembered what a chicken looked like. In Romans 1:8, let's go there. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers and at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way will be open for me to come to you. Paul always remembered other people. And God bless each one of you as you remember those who serve in our military, as you remember those who serve in the army of the Lord. It's people who count the most. Remembering people. Some people just have a knack of remembering people. They remember what they like in their coffee, or they remember what kind of soda you like to drink, or they remember the places you go to eat. And thank you to everyone who remembered and bought me Starbucks card for Pastor's Appreciation. And some of our favorite restaurant cards. It's important to remember people and to honor people and to respect people. If there was more of that in the world would be a much better place. But it has to start with each one of us to remember the sacrifice that people have given for this great country. They gave it for me. I've never been in the service. I've never been to war. My brother went to war. He went to Vietnam. And the effects that serving has on a person makes them, and it can break them. And so, having compassion, I've loved watching the shows on TV where they are building homes for smart homes, they call them, for the vets that have lost arms and legs as they've come back to the country. And the kind things that we see, so much kindness in America. Honestly, we see so much giving. The protests in the street are disheartening. So we remember those around us in such a way that we can encourage them. People love to be encouraged. Talk to Leslie Lauver for a few minutes if you need some encouragement. The body of Christ needs the gift of encouragement. And so there's something you can, a couple questions you can ask yourself. Are people happier than they were before they talked to you? And are they better off since they met you? Or do people walk away from you feeling worse? You know, if you want to make somebody feel bad, you can do that. It's easy. But to make someone feel good, to cause them to feel good because they've been in your presence, we need the help of the Lord. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We're to look for ways to do good to our brothers and sisters, to encourage them and to bless them. So we're to remember our vets, and let us also remember what they gave to us. Number two, we're going to talk about our blessed nations. You know, our forefathers grew tired of the tyranny in Europe and England, and they came to America to start all over. But even though they were here, they still discovered that the English military expected them to stay under their control. And so they decided to take a stand and defend the nation against more tyranny. And the consequences was that many of them gave their life. The consequences was that blood was spilled to build a free nation upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And there was a sacrifice that was given for you and I. Jesus Christ spilled his blood. You see, our veterans have fought for our natural freedom. And our police force maintains that law and order that we've been given. But Jesus Christ gave his life for our spiritual freedom. Our forefathers were under the tyranny of the English, but we were under the tyranny of Satan. And so we remember Jesus Christ. We remember that his body was broken for us. He said, "Remember me when you take this." John 15:13 says, "No greater love has any man than he would lay down his life for one of his friends." So we have two friends that have died for us. One is a soldier and police officers who put their life on the line every day. They gave their life for us. And then we have Jesus Christ, who gave his life. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So we have two friends. We have a friend in Christ and a friend in those who have sacrificed their lives for us. You've heard the saying, freedom isn't free. We need to rethink freedom. You know, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of our military. I'm thankful for their service. I'm thankful for all the blessings God's given to America so that I can have the lifestyle that I have. So we remember our heroes who have made sacrifices for us. And I'm proud to be a Christian, are you? Yes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's power. This is a time of healing, and it's a time of refocusing in our land. It's not a time for bitterness. It's not a time for negativity. This is the time to love others for his sake, not to hate them for our sakes. And while we're remembering, let us remember our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave everything he had so we could have the salvation that he offers. But to remember him, we must know him. Not know about him, but to know him on a deep and personal level. On the same level that you would divulge your innermost secrets and thoughts to. On the level that you would feel something was wrong if you had to go through a day without being in his presence. If you've not experienced that level of relationship with Jesus yet, then this is an opportunity in which you might do so right now. So let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for every member of the River of Life family and our guests today, Lord. And God, I just sense your heart, your heartbeat, your presence here, drawing us closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for this great salvation. And Lord, if there's anyone sitting here today who has not received you as their Lord and Savior, I thank you, Lord, that your scripture says we just repent of our sins and ask you to come in. And for those who desire a deeper relationship with you, I thank you, Lord, that you just said, ask and you will receive. You said if we just take one step toward you, if we come closer to you, you come close to us. So, Lord, I pray that your spirit, your love, your peace just fills every person's heart and mind. And every child, Lord, give us that sweet assurance of your love and that you are sovereign, Lord, over our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was very thankful to hear President-elect Donald Trump's stance on Israel. We thank God that we have a president-elect that has agreed, and for personal reasons, because his son-in-law is a Jew. And so he values Israel and our relationship. And you know, hooking arms with Israel will bless this nation. Will bless this nation. God said he would bless those who bless Israel. And so thank God and bless the USA, and God bless all of you, and God bless all of our vets today and every day, and for those who put their life on the line every day for us. We love you, appreciate you, pray for you, and are so thankful for your service.